Welcome to the Tracking Connections podcast, and thanks for listening.
We feature voices from around the world sharing stories of working intentionally with deep nature connection in ways that transform lives, families, projects, and communities. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm John.
And we are your hosts from Living Connection First.
Hello, this is John Young, and thank you for tuning in to our Tracking Connections podcast. Today I'm solo, but my guest today is going to tell a story, share a bit about his life, and speak to the what Dr. Bill Sutherland from the Toronto area likes to call the impoverishment that we experience in modern times. And when he speaks to an impoverishment, he speaks specifically to the lack of connective cultural norms, you know, that a lot of the norms that we experience in modern times, and I'm not making this up, I'm hearing this from people all over the world, you know, that the, you know, what's taken for granted as normal is a fairly disconnective kind of consistent inertia, you know, that if we're left to our own devices, there isn't a culture that's going to connect us to ourselves, to the earth, and to one another. And if you're hearing this podcast and you're saying, well, that's not me, I have a great culture, you know, well, blessings on that's happening for you. Because there are pockets of it left all over the world. I mean, if you grew up in a traditional culture somewhere, it doesn't always have to be an indigenous traditional culture. You may have experienced a lot of powerful threads that connected you beautifully to other people and to the natural world. And I think a lot about my own ancestry from Ireland and my Irish family that were super connective, really great with connecting, you know, me and my cousins and my sister to nature as children and connecting to each other, you know, with storytelling and jokes and shared music and, you know, just a general sort of desire or sort of, you know, cultural momentum of being people together and really supporting each other, you know. So it's not that culture's gone everywhere, but a lot of people are out there saying, man, I'm really, you know, I just don't have any support. You know, I don't have elders. I don't have aunties and uncles. I don't have that for my children. And I long for that. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So my guest today is Arnaud Gagné. And just a little background on him. He's a graduate of the naturalist training program that we spoke about in our first episode, which we called for many years the Kamana Naturalist Training Program. And Arnaud went on the journey and committed himself. He's a very self-motivated person for 8 years until he graduated that program. And since then, he's been involved in the holistic tracking program, which we call the Shikari Tracker Training Program. And he's a very passionate holistic tracker. He's been around Art of Mentorings for many years. He, you know, was first obviously a participant in the experience, and then he worked his way up to being a staff and a leader and worked for the Wisdom of the Earth School as a mentor. He's a talented Nature Connection mentor. And with his wife, Christina, and son, Nolan, they offer and support mentoring through their project Connection Pathways, which is aimed at families with young children. But Arnaud also serves as a mentor for many adults, and he's a wonderful person. And he's born in Belgium, but was only there for a month and grew up in Quebec, Canada. He's now in Nova Scotia. But Arnaud loved to participate in lots of outdoor activities, including, you know, a lot of sports, baseball, skateboarding, snowboarding, skiing. At the age of 20, his older cousin called him out west, and following his passion for snowboarding and spending time with his older cousin, he encouraged Arnaud to become a ski and snowboard instructor and work towards becoming a mountain guide. And Arnaud had his first experience leading teens in the wilderness, where he experienced that deep earth time, that slowing down and really becoming present and awakened a calling. And all this happened before he discovered Kamana, but he was feeling something, and he wasn't shy to talk about wanting to take this deeper to everyone who would listen. And someone did and offered Arnaud a book. So Arnaud, welcome to Tracking Connections podcast. And thanks so much for being willing to tell your story, because it's such an important one. Pick up from where someone handed you a book. Tell that story a little bit for us.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, the book. It's like the book I had been waiting for my whole life until then. It was two books at once, and then came more and more books of the same series. What had prepared me for receiving that book, though, I think, is all the things that you talked about, you know, like growing up in this kind of what most people would call normal, you know, but fairly disconnected life, but somehow having these little tidbits here and there through all the time I had spent outdoors and living in the country. And that my cousin that you mentioned was really important, because now I realize that was the mentoring that I got. So I got to taste what mentoring was, you know, somebody older who really cared about me around something that we were both passionate about, which was skiing and snowboarding and mountain biking and skateboarding and other sports. And somehow he planted that seed. And because I, you know, slowed down and quieted my mind through the backcountry skiing, you know, just me and the mountains and maybe a friend or two for long, long periods of time. Somehow I got that calling. I wanted to learn survival skills. I was working at a summer camp that summer, taking kids out on canoe trips and hiking trips and stuff. And all of a sudden I needed to do it the old way. Like, I didn't want all that gear anymore. I wanted, you know, what I was calling survival skills then. And, you know, I wanted to start fire without matches. I wanted to, you know, learn to hunt and know all the medicinal plants and all that stuff. And so I kept talking about it. And so this person who was a friend of a roommate at the time handed me this book and these two books. It was Tom Brown's Field Guide to Wilderness Survival and The Tracker. Those were the two first ones. So I think I read both of them probably in 1 or 2 days. Just like as soon as I started, it was off, and then it, you know, like really awakened something. And I came back, you know, I was like, got any more of these? And so she handed me, I think the next two were Grandfather and The Field Guide to Living with the Earth, and then Nature Observation and Tracking and Awakening Spirits and all these books by Tom Brown. And I just like all of a sudden this like switch kind of turned on, and I just like went in a complete different direction. Like, I was really into rock climbing at that time, which was also really a mind quieting exercise. And I even remember Tom Brown mentioning, you know, this exercise of getting to know a stone and how you couldn't tell a rock climber to go do that because they spent so much time like intricately with the stone. So I kind of had that passage into another world. And I started spending all my time practicing what was in his books. You know, this, you know, I would read about all the survival skills, and I would try it all myself. But I had, at that point, I was by myself, like nobody I knew. I lived in Whistler, which is a huge ski town, you know, and that's what people are into. They're into the outdoor pursuits, but nobody was into this stuff. And so I kind of just went on this really solo journey. And this same person is also the person who had told me about Kamana. So that was kind of in the back of my mind. And yeah, and I kind of laugh now too, because when she told me about Kamana, she told me about you, John, and you were in Washington at that time at Wilderness Awareness School. And that was closer because that was just south of the border. But I was like, I want Tom Brown, you know, I want the guy. But he's all the way in New Jersey. And it's so amazing that actually like the work that you did was what I was really meant to go. And I think the next part of the journey will explain that, because it was really about how nature brought me back to the people.
Yeah, that's good. That's a wonderful pointer to what I wanted to say next, which is... you know, I spoke a bit about the cultural deficit that we experience, you know, that impoverishment that Dr. Bill talks about. But let's talk about the positive. You know, the job of a good culture is to connect people. You know, like there, when I was researching culture between 1979 and 83 through anthropology, there was a lot about, you know, let's call it the trappings of culture or the artifacts of culture, you know. There was a lot about the art and about the stories and about the music, but they were kind of focusing on the what of culture, you know, like what are the things that happen? But there was almost nothing. Like if you go to Wikipedia and you read, if you look up culture and you go through all those pages, by the time you're done looking at it, you'll sort of feel like you know less about culture than before you started, because it's not really talking about the function of culture. You know, what is culture doing? Why is culture helpful? And, you know, because culture can be positive or negative, you know, and when I say positive or negative, I'm going to say a negative culture is a culture where everyone has fallen into social norms, as you were talking about normal behavior, that can be very disconnective. You know, so if there's a very well-established culture of disconnection, well, people who grow up in that are not going to get the benefit of connection. But for hundreds of thousands of years, it was critical for people living close to the earth to have a culture that connected every single child to the natural world around them. And I mean deeply, like to all the animals and plants, especially the things that could really hurt them, so they could develop that relationship and then be safe because they would know how to respond and move in a competent way within that relationship. And also the things that really support life, you know, the things they need for food, for medicine, for the materials they need to build the things they need to have a good life, right? So, you know, you could say the mandate of these ancient cultures is to connect everyone to themselves so that they really know themselves. They know how to stay in the present moment because that's super critical when you're living close to the earth. Super nourishing as well, you know, even if you're living a modern life, having those experiences that you described, Arnaud, you know, of what rock climbing did for you, that those long periods of silence and focus with your senses and, you know, what that gifted you, right? So it doesn't even have to be a mandate to keep you alive. But in modern times, it brings the benefit, the well-being that comes from being able to hold the present. So connecting to yourself and being aware when you're in that state of connectedness versus when you're not is really critical. And I've noticed when I spend time with Dasan Bushman that everybody is super aware of themselves and how they are relating to others in the world, the people and the natural world. They're very aware of the energy that they put out, you know, so they don't create bird plows and, you know, they're so they can hear the bird language around them. You know, they're very, very attuned. So the job of a good culture is to connect us to ourselves, to each other, and to the natural world. And as we'll talk about in another podcast with our guest, Matt Goff, he talks about those as the three legs of the stool of well-being, you know, that you have to have all three of those in balance. Ultimately, a powerful culture, especially one that's close to the earth, will connect people to ancestors and to the future generations and instill this sense of care for the earth and the other people. And especially, let's leave it better than we found it. Let's care for the future generations as well and leave them a good earth to inherit, right? So these are all things that a culture does. So the job of a good culture is to connect us to one another, to ourselves, to the natural world, all the beings and elements and seasons and things like that, as well as awareness of ancestors, awareness of unborn, and then the awareness of mystery. These are all things that come out of a good culture. So I'm going to stop there because, you know, going back to the cultural deficit, we think about how little support there is in the structures of modern life to do the things that a good culture is meant to do. So that's where I want to hand it back to you, Arnaud, to tell a little story about, you know, your awakening into culture.
Well, yeah, until I found, you know, Kamana and all those things, like I had a pretty like that normal upbringing, the normal that you were alluding to, that's, you know, actually was really disconnected, you know, like I was depressed as a teenager, and, you know, that my whole time through school. And most of the things I was thinking about was like, how could I not be there? So I really didn't want to be there. But I didn't really know where I was supposed to be until I really found nature in the way that Kamana brought me into nature in this like timeless way. And you know, building those, you know, we talk a lot about the ropes of connection, and I'm sure that'll be a topic at some point. But, you know, just how these, you know, you develop these relationships that become like these really powerful interactions with the other beings, the animals and, you know, the birds and the trees and the plants and the place, you know, like that first sit spot, that secret spot that I had in the place that I was living at that time was like so magical. Like these, I was by myself, you know, having all these experiences with the otters and, you know, coyote and fox, and it was just so magical. But there was, at that time, I had aside from, you know, my responder who I would send, you know, some writings to like once every couple months, I had really nobody to really put all of these experiences in context, but something was awakening in me and I was looking for it. And that was that, like, it took such a long process, you know, like the process of wandering that's supposed to be these early 20s. I feel like I was in something that within a connective culture that does the, you know, fills the functions that you were just talking about, would have taken me a year, maybe 2 years. I feel like it took me 10 years, you know, but it awakened me looking for it. And one of those things that I was looking for was the Vision Quest experience. So I started, you know, talking to friends. There was people I knew, you know, like, oh, this person, you know, leads these quests in this way and this other way. And I would go and meet these peoples. And yeah, and I remember one specific time, you know, where I went into a space with that one person and I got a really hard no, like not here, not now. Okay, so I'll keep searching, you know. At this same time, I have a friend out on the West Coast who's indigenous from there, from the West Coast. And a phrase that I noticed he used a lot when we were talking about certain things is that he would say, in my culture, we do this. In my culture, we do that. Or in my culture, we have this kind of understanding, this practice. And I noticed that in my mind, I started like something, there was a voice I started to say, oh yeah, I mean, in my culture, we do this. And I realized that this was, I was referring to what we call the eight shields, you know, this whole bundle that you've gathered, John, over the years with so much wisdom from around the world and directly from nature. And, you know, and this is after I had done the journey on my own, but I skipped some of the parts where I, you know, also encountered, you know, that my first encounter with the art of mentoring cultural container was at Wilderness Awareness School for, well, they had the short version, the coyote mentoring, and then they had the long version that was the art of mentoring. And so I'd been to both of those. And I, coming back from that, was like, oh, I want that like every day. I don't know what this is, but it feels good. And some things I recognized too from, you know, from reading Tom Brown's book and from within Kamana. And there was all of a sudden, also all of a sudden, there was all these other people that, you know, had similar experiences to different degrees that I'd had with Kamana. And all of a sudden there was a context for all these stories and passions that I had. So, you know, this journey that I had with nature was now supported by people, but those were only still little tidbits here and there. So when I realized that Eight Shields was my culture, it clicked with me that like, oh, this vision quest that I want to go on, it needs to be within that cultural framework. And that sort of synchronized with around the same time that I actually met you in person when you came out to Salt Spring Island. There was the first art of mentoring there, and then there was some of the 512 stories recording for the 512 project. And that's actually what you told me about the what you had back then, the vision initiation path. Then through you, I met Sal Giancarelli. And yeah, so that's how I ended up going out. And that vision quest for me, I realized in the end, like I already was guided towards this vision. Like I wanted to help people, like exactly what you were saying. I want to help restore a culture that, you know, supports people to be connected to nature, to themselves and to each other at all ages and stages of life. And I knew that there was barriers in the way, that there was blocks that I needed to help, you know, have help with removing. And that I wasn't actually searching for what I was to bring to the world. It's I needed the help. And what actually I came to call this quest was my commitment quest. And that was the moment that I committed to this as like a way of life. You know, that's what I call it now. And, you know, the small group of people I mentor, I call them my core mentoring group. You know, I say like, this is for the people that want to make this a way of life, you know, the core routines of nature connection, the cultural elements that support connection as a way of life for themselves, their families, for their communities and the future generations. So that's what I've, you know, strived to live myself since then and share with others.
So that experience with that indigenous person, you know, in my culture, we do this and we do it this way. In my culture, we do that. It sort of shone a light on you where maybe at first your thought was, well, I don't have a culture. Like, this person keeps talking about it, but I don't have a culture. Was that kind of your first thought?
Yeah. And that's what I, you know, I'd been thinking. I think I had a big grief about that even, you know, and I even knew, you know, like growing up, I was told that there was a lot of indigenous blood on, you know, my dad's side of the family, but something I knew nothing about, you know, and going back in my European ancestry is even going back so much further. So at this point, yeah, I'd basically resigned to the fact of having any sort of culture that made sense. So my story up until then was like, I have no culture, you know, and even, yeah, when I first heard these words, like, oh yeah, I have no culture, but I do this thing, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, this has actually become my culture. But it's not as cut and simple, you know, that as like, now I have a culture, because that would be, you know, then this is what I'm realizing, like now too, reflecting on this stuff is like, yeah, if we do all these practices and we, you know, restore some of these functions and put them in place. And, you know, I know I've heard you use the word, you know, duct tape, you know, the duct tape generation. And that really speaks to it for me. It's like, we're trying to put these pieces back together. But like, I take myself, for example, I've had all these experiences. I have deep nature connection. And, you know, I know a lot of the pieces that need to be restored. But I also grew up not in that connective framework. So there's like always like residues that I see. And but now at least I have the awareness to see that they're coming up. But like, so yeah, it's about like, I realized in the later years, you know, in the more recent years, that like so much of it is about healing. And the process of reconnecting to nature for me is like the beginning of that healing. It's like sort of bringing us back to our natural selves. I was talking recently with some of my groups about like, what's a naturalist, you know, and we have this picture that a naturalist is somebody who knows a lot about nature and those kind of things. That's like the common definition. But to me, it's like, I'm a naturalist because I strive to be natural. Like, I want to be a natural human being in connection with the land around me and the beings that I share the land with, including other people. I want to access the nature that's in me. So I think that's like an important beginning to being able to restore a culture, because my feeling is that connected culture come from people being natural. And of course they help people to be and remain natural, because my belief is that we're born that way, that the culture will either help us stay that way, or, you know, in the case of sort of dominant culture nowadays, it, in my opinion, seems to steer us in the other direction a lot of the time, you know, maybe not always, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, my partner, Sarah, who, you know, she talks about the entrainment, you know, that we receive in that modern culture, you know, that takes us away from that, what we're born with, what Tom Brown likes to call our birthright. Right. And I agree with you. I mean, I think when I'm with an indigenous people in who are still living in the ways of their ancestors, it's really clear to me that everybody is held in that natural space that you're talking about, right? You don't see people disconnecting and reconnecting. It's everyone is doing it. So when you're a child, you grow up with role models all around you of all ages that are exhibiting their best connected self. And that's because the culture is healthy, you know. And I find your description of, you didn't quite say it like this, but I think this is what you're saying, that when we reconnect with nature and we rediscover that connection, like your beautiful story about rock climbing and feeling that presence, you know, and you know, that's sort of like the birth of something or the rebirth of something within us, right? And then that becomes precious to you, and then you want to keep growing that. And Kamana, which, you know, literally gives you so many exercises to go out and build a relationship with this tree and this bush and this insect and this bird, all around your sit area. And that you go to your sit area every day if you can, and you journal about it. So you're connecting to nature, but you're also connecting to yourself. And as you were saying, you start to have this realization about yourself. Oh, this is the old me, the disconnected me that's jumping up right now in my consciousness. And oh, I recognize that. So that's kind of what we mean by self-connection, right? So you're talking about that three-legged stool or the three-legged tripod that Matt refers to, you know. We need to be connected to nature abundantly. So we have that channel of creative energy coming from the earth through us that informs us. You know, because Eight Shields isn't a culture. Eight Shields is a set of principles and practices and a map of what healthy culture possesses. And then when we look at it, it's like a mirror. I like to call it the eight-sided mirror, because you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, there aren't aunties in my life. There aren't uncles. There aren't elders. You know, the younger children in my life don't have older brothers and sisters who, or cousins who are leading them on the journey. You know, so it gives you a map, like the art of mentoring map, as we call it, that shows what a healthy village looks like and what a healthy culture in a village looks like. And then there's the principles. It's like, okay, well, one of the principles, for instance, is, you know, when we begin to build community around nature connection, which almost everyone does invariably, they go so far in the nature connection journey and they start to say, where are my people? I long for company, right? And then they start to look at, well, what does it mean to call people together? And how do I bring people together around nature connection? And that's where these cultural elements and principles come in handy, because it's like, oh, okay, that's how you bring people together. And oh, that's what makes for good relationships, you know? So do you have reflections on that? Because you spoke well to your self-connection, your quest experience, you know, your inner searching, your realizations about healing, you know, your disconnected childhood that, you know, you can see the remnants of that on you, and now you're working on the healing of that. So this is self-connection, very well modeled. You know, you're obviously modeling deep nature connection. What did you start to realize about the people connection piece, you know, that cultural side?
Well, I think because the first part of my journey was not directly, you know, supported by real life people, I think I had to dip a little bit away from people for a while, which I actually think is not necessary, you know, but it was the case for me because I went on the journey alone. And, you know, like, I think a lot of people do have that experience sometimes, like nature gave me like the safety and nature, I could be myself and all that. And, but something happened and it, I didn't even expect it to come, but like I can remember a time where things started to happen. Like I could start to feel people, you know, like just like I was learning bird language and, you know, there's body language involved and energetics. And all of a sudden I could really like, you know, read people's intentions and things like that a lot more than I had been able to before. And I think that actually really helped my interactions with people. So like that is also the time where I got called back to like, oh, I actually really want, like, I love people and I want to, you know, bring people together. And it started with me wanting to share nature connection with children. And, you know, then it led to later on, you know, I always say that I work with adults, but for the children, you know, because we need to be there, you know. And I think of like journeys like Kamana, you know, like my son, he's doing Kamana right now, but he doesn't have binders, you know, he's just getting out there and building the relationships because I have a way to pull him through that. But I think this ability to, you know, really feel what different people are about allowed me to feel safer among people and just actually surround myself with the people that I feel really good around. And I think that's like one of the things that I think is powerful, is to like start small, you know, like the way I see it is like, okay, I bring connection myself, I bring connection my family, and then we surround ourselves with, you know, just the people that I guess are ready to, or just have the, yeah, are kind of on the same sort of journey and that we feel good around. And then, you know, there's little circles. I imagine little circles forming like that all over the place and growing. And I think I've heard this like within even prophecies, you know, that there was going to be a time where these small circles would find each other and just grow and grow and grow. And then all these kind of disconnective structure would just melt away, you know, just without anybody having to fight anything, you know. And so I like to hold that vision for the people connection. And I came across something not too long ago, and I know you know Darsha Narvez too, John, and she's done something really cool called the Evolved Nest, which was, you know, how all mammals have evolved to raise their children. And I got really interested in that because my son is 3.5 years old, you know, so it's really that stage. And but as a little side note to that, I found something that they had on worldviews, which I think is actually really important for people connection, is like, how do we see the world? And it just compared these 30 points of manifestations of common indigenous worldview and common dominator culture worldview. And it's just really interesting to see, like, how when you look on the indigenous side, it's a lot of the things, like, you know, the things from the dominator culture were things I'd received, like, from, you know, being in school and things like that, you know, like, and on the other side were like these things that grew in me through nature connection. And, you know, if I just, like, some examples are just like empathy and like courage and fearless trust in the universe and, you know, time, cyclical time. And yeah, just like words as sacred and truthfulness as essential. They're just like these different things that really make people interactions really rich, and that we can really get that way of being. Yeah, maybe my journey was to learn to be natural in nature so that I could actually be natural with people. And then it comes, being naturally then comes naturally.
That makes, yeah, I love that. Sense. Yes, of course it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful share there. And, you know, your vision, like I hear you speaking from this place that I was speaking from in our first episode, where I was talking about sitting around with my 18 year old friends, you know, and that was around the time when Tom Brown went off to write his first book. And, you know, he kind of disappeared from our lives. And what me and this group of friends had in common was that, though, you know, hardly any of those friends had the deep passion and commitment to going to my sit spot every day and spending all the time tracking. And, you know, essentially I was on the Kamana journey with Tom mentoring me. They weren't as into that as I was, but the influence that Tom had on them, because he was the scoutmaster of a small Boy Scout troop, and there was a handful of young men that grew up together with Tom's influence. He didn't tell us what to think. He didn't tell us to be environmentalists. He wasn't passing his values and ethics onto us in any way. He was simply using good mentoring to get us to discover the beauty of the earth. That's what he was doing, right? He never put his opinions out. He just asked a lot of good questions, told stories about his growing up with a grandfather, but didn't really try to transmit his values to us, which I appreciate about him. He's very thoughtful that way. We were 18, sitting around a fire one night, and we all missed Tom, and we were all talking about all the good times we had with him over the last 5-6 years. You know, everybody was expressing this deep remorse, this deep sadness, this deep frustration and anger with modern society, because this 3,000-acre wooded area that we all played in growing up together, which at the time we did not know it was private property, and we didn't know it was slated to be developed someday. We had no idea. You know, as far as we were concerned, it was just the land that belonged to everyone, you know, that kind of feeling, right? And it was getting bulldozed, and, you know, there was all these beautiful places that we grew up around that were all getting turned into parking lots and gas stations and convenience stores and shopping centers. And everyone was like really deeply hurt by that. But we also realized, because who was sitting around that fire that night back in one of the camp spots that we shared with Tom years ago, for years, you know, who was present that night talking about it, were only people that had grown up around Tom. And we were all talking about the fact that our peers, our friends in school, they thought we were kind of immature or stupid or foolish in our views, you know, like, well, modern progress, you know, why do you guys, you know, waste so much time hanging out in the woods, you know, like, who cares, right? It's going to be so cool to have the shopping center, you know, like, there was such a difference between those of us who were connected, didn't even know we were connected, versus those who were not. That's what launched me on the quest to understand what was it that Tom had done for us and how can we do it for others, right? But, you know, he never said to me, John, think of what I did for you and how you can internalize that and figure out how to do it for others. He never said that. It came from my core. It came from my heart. It was like a longing that rose up in me. It wasn't something that came from an idea. And I hear that in your story as well. You know, the recognition that I feel called to help adults so that they can help children. You know, we speak to that longing, that calling, you know, where that's coming from within you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you were talking about, you know, learning to love the earth. And I think where it started is, and I would say, like, learning to love the earth so much that even the people that I spent some time not loving for a while, when I had all those same kind of feelings, like that they were destroying the earth and, you know, modern man is the enemy, you know, and all of a sudden just loving the earth so much that I just had to love the people, you know, and that to find nature, even because nature is in anyone, you know, like anybody who's even disconnected. So I think that was the first thing, you know, like the first thing was that it's actually the through the people that we can actually change something. And it's really, it's also happens to be just really amazing to spend time with people in the context of connecting with nature. But I think even like bringing it to an even bigger degree, I mean, you know, for anybody who's listening that has had a vision quest type experience, it's like this, you were talking about connecting culture, connecting people to the ancestors and to the future generations. I think that was one of the things that that did for me. It's like all of a sudden, I'm not just doing it because I love doing it, but I just need to do this, you know, and it's hard to explain. And then the next even deeper level for me was when I became a father, and all of a sudden I was like, okay, these future generations now are not like an abstract concept to me. Like they're walking around and, you know, running around in my house and my yard and in the forest, you know, behind our house. So, and I can see like the direct impact of the magical world of, you know, nature and connected culture on him, as well, like as I could see the impact of the disconnected aspects of the modern world. And like it's just like so obvious on little children that are just such like, you know, high concentration of connectedness, you know. That I would say like the wild animals, really, like you can
I love that perspective. Thank you so much, and thanks for sharing that story. And if people wanted to be in touch with you, how would you tell them to do so, Arno?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Connection Pathways. The website is connectionpathways.com. And it's easy to remember because John is Connection First and Connection Pathways. So it's all about connection.
Right on. Well, thank you so very much. Any closing thoughts on the way out here?
Just gratitude. I'm just, so grateful. You know, that it seems almost surreal, but also just incredibly real to just be, you know, sitting here doing this with you today and thinking back to 20 years ago, you know, starting this journey and hearing your voice on the original Seeing Through Native Eyes you know, reading Tom's books and reading the stories in Kamana, and just, how magical this, all the pieces of this journey has been. So I'm really grateful for what you've shared and continue to share, and what Tom shared, and, you know, all the people. And just like now, as I say this, I'm imagining like, so there's so many people all over, you know, so many are my good friends and that are just like sharing this stuff in a really powerful way all over the world, helping people. And I see those little circles that I talked about earlier, you know, they're forming and they get stronger and stronger. And I think the healing piece, you know, I hope that when I get old, I'll be an elder. That's what I'm working towards. And I know that I won't get to, you know, completely as if I would have been in an intact culture, but I'll be one step further. And I hope that, you know, if we do that every generation, then at one point there will be a culture.
That's a beautiful image to hold in our hearts. Thanks so much, Arno, and thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Tracking Connections. You can find everything related to the podcast and our current offerings at trackingconnections.net. We'll see you next time.